This episode is sponsored by Pelton's Underwear, protecting that which matters most.
Hello.
Yes, we're back.
We're back.
Cool. Was that me?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I hear you great.
You can hear me clearly. Not too much noise elsewhere. I can go find a quiet
spot. No. Right. You're perfect. You're coming on good. And me?
Yeah, you're good, man. You're good.
Hey, pal. Yeah. Listen, nice to hear your voice. I've got, normally I use my headphones, but I've got my podcast kit, so it's a bit experimental. I'll see how it turns out in the end.
Sure. No worries, man.
Buddy, listen, how are you?
I'm really good. I'm really good. As I was saying, I don't know if you caught just before we broke up a second ago. I'm stood on the pool deck of my cruise ship, stuck in Marseille Harbour. What was that?
Oh wow!
Yeah, not moving anywhere. It's not a cruise, so to speak. It's more just a big floating hotel. all inclusive, shitload of rugby fans from, it seems today, mostly Wales.
Interesting, huh? The Welsh have come out in their numbers.
Yeah, this is a couple of RGs as well.
Okay.
A couple of white and blue and plenty of English, but maybe we're keeping quiet. We tend to keep quiet around Welsh fans.
So much. So quiet.
How are you doing?
I am doing well. Had a bit of a bender with the boys last night.
Yeah.
We played FIFA and then we went out, which is never a good combination, you know.
What, playing FIFA and then going out? No.
Yeah. So it's feeling quite fragile this morning. So I'm having a margarita at my favorite place here in Nairobi.
Do you mean the pizza or do you mean the beverage?
No, the beverage.
Oh, wow. Yeah, wow.
It's like 11 o'clock local time.
really rough then for you.
Margarita always sorts me out, my friend. Wow, okay.
Good for you. I mean, maybe I should go down because I'm on this. It's all inclusive, right? I've got like bottomless anything on this thing.
Oh, my goodness, man.
I can just walk up right to the bar and be like, I'll have four margaritas just for me, please.
Oh, man. That sounds amazing,
yeah,
man, bro.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's kind of surreal, honestly. I've never been on a cruise ship before in my life, so this is the first time I'm on a cruise ship. And then it's a very strange cruise ship because it's obviously not actually cruising. So it's just this weird, I don't know. And then everyone here is like sort of leery. Everyone's drinking. People were drinking beers with breakfast this morning. I mean, maybe that's just the Welsh, but it's just a strange atmosphere, a strange environment. But I could, in theory, have a margarita as well. I might think about maybe.
You're on a cruise ship, buddy. I'm surprised you don't have 10 margaritas right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm not quite what I used to be in terms of my drinking ability, and I realize I've got a long afternoon ahead of me because I'm going to. Yeah. So I'm going to the Wales Fiji game.
Fantastic.
5 o'clock my time. So I've still got 4 or 5 hours before even the first game. And then, of course, we're coming back to the boat to watch the New Zealand Island game.
You got to pace yourself, mate. Yeah.
So if I start drinking now, I'm going to be hooned and I won't remember any of it. So I think I'll have my first beer at the stadium. Maybe I'll have my first beer with my lunch.
You're very responsible, Ben, because that is the sound of a responsible man.
Yes.
That says to himself, listen, I used to be a teenager that would have gotten, drunk at any opportunity. Now I'm an adult. You're adulting right now. You're killing it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm also aware that I have another day of this tomorrow because I've got the England game as well. And then the same again. So I'm like, let's pace ourselves, eh? You know, I didn't drink too much last night. I went to the spa, had a nice sauna session. Yeah, that's
mate,
good, actually. Yeah,
that's good. Paradise, bud. That's paradise. So your ship isn't leaving the shore?
Nope. I believe there's maybe an accommodation shortage in Marseille or something, or they've just spotted a gap in the market, and somehow some cruise company has teamed up with some sports travel company to. I don't know. I think it sounds like they've been doing it for every game in Marseille. So for every game in Marseille, there's been a cruise ship parked here with rugby fans on it.
Interesting, huh? Amazing.
A and part of the package is you get tickets to the game. So we've got a package. I mean, this was a last minute sub in for me. I wasn't supposed to be on this, but my dad's mate, my godfather, a good family friend, he was diagnosed with cancer. Not a bad kind, what the kind that I think is you know, is going to be fine ultimately, statistically speaking. But it was enough that he felt he probably shouldn't be going to Marseille. So I got a last minute, like, Ben, do you want to come to Marseille and be on an all expenses cruise?
Oh, get out of town, mate. That's fantastic, Ben.
Yeah, and go see the Wales and the England game. Although we didn't know for a fact they were going to be Wales and England games by that point, but now they have been confirmed, obviously. And I was like, well, I'd be a flipping idiot to say no. So I didn't.
Mate, I'm so glad. That's how you're beating cancer, because instead of it consuming, you know, kind of your activities and restraining your activities, you're like, listen, thanks, cancer. I'm going to watch rugby.
Yeah.
On a cruise ship.
Yeah.
In France.
Yeah. I think, you know, I feel good about it. And, it's a very nice gesture. Would not, be completely honest, would not be even slightly able to afford this if I was not.
You got to enjoy it, buddy. You got to listen, enjoy it for us, because it's a once in a lifetime trip. And I'm so glad, because you are a World Cup correspondent, right? Two World Cups now running. So.
Yes. Yes. No, I know. This is the thing. And I've been to a game at the past three World Cups.
Yeah.
I've been to several games at the past. So I obviously went to the final back in 2019. We're not going to talk about that. And then I went to the quarters and the semi-finals of the England World Cup back in 2015. We're also not going to talk about them, because England weren't in either of those. I saw Scotland, Australia, which Scotland deserved to win, and Australia.
Oh, I remember that game.
Yeah, I was at that game, and that was honestly a bit of a travesty.
Yeah, it was. The late try to Vito Corandrani, and then some penalty issue with wasn't a penalty, scrum penalty, but it wasn't a scrum.
Exactly. And it wasn't a penalty. And even the RFU came out and said that was not a penalty, that was a mistake.
Dude,
so Scotland should have won that.
Yeah.
Then it went to Argentina, Australia, which was the one after, which Argentina put up a hell of a fight, but Australia still won that. Only, of course, to go on to lose to New Zealand in the final. So then this is the third World Cup in a row I've been to, and the second World Cup in a row I've been your foreign correspondent.
Oh, yes, boy. That's why we love to have you, pal.
Yeah.
you're like my favorite guest. Okay, don't tell John and Dave Van Hosselen, who've been on the show. Dave Van Hosselen is a former Springbok, so he's like heavyweight. But but you're my favorite guest, pal, because you always bring so much energy, and also you're at the plays, at the games, plus your English. And we hate the English when it comes to rugby, you know?
Yeah.
So it's always
you and
great.
The rest of the world.
Yeah. So it's always great, because I think I need to get one more guest from like New Zealand, and it's gonna be the trifecta, like people that hate each other that talk about rugby. You know,
yeah, you got the full compliment. Then no, it's a pleasure. Always a pleasure talking to you, Mo. And I was talking to my dad about it, and I was like, oh, well, he's like my rugby pen pal.
Yeah, exactly.
Except in the 21st century, where instead of writing letters, we do podcasts.
Yeah, dude, it's perfect. It's beautiful. Hey, but listen, a speedy recovery to your dad-in-law, mate.
Thanks,
I'm glad. We're all glad. I'm sure the listeners as well, that it's not the worst kind of cancer. You know, I've got friends obviously that have been affected by it, and I'm sure you have as well. Mm-hmm. So I know it can be very, very hectic. I hardly hear of good stories, actually. You know, there's more like really hectic stories. So I'm glad his cancer is not the worst.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thank you. I think he'll be fine, and we appreciate that. And he might even have been able to make it. I just think he made a sensible call. But you know, there we are. Like you say, I've benefited from that, and so I'm not gonna sit here and mope about it. I'll be show some gratitude and
absolutely,
and
buddy.
Soak in the atmosphere, yeah.
Because I wanted to ask you earlier when you were saying that you're on a cruise ship. I was like, who are you with? Are you alone on a cruise ship? Like, that's not normal.
No. I mean, it's not normal anyway, but yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not alone.
I was on a cruise ship once.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not alone. Who are you with a special somebody?
No, just my father. Just my dad.
Okay. Well, still a special somebody. Yeah,
still a special somebody.
Yeah, yeah. I said to myself, the next time I want to be on a ship is on an episode of Deadliest Catch. But it's the best sleep I've ever had. Because it rocks you side to side if the boat is moving.
Yeah.
That was great.
I'm missing out on that because I'm stuck to this panel. Although we did wake up this morning to find out we'd moved in the harbour. So we have actually sailed. We just moved a berth or two along. I was like, oh.
Listen, and how's the pizza? Because when I was on my one, the pizza was amazing.
I haven't had pizza yet, honestly. You know, we went to the sort of fine dining-ish area yesterday, which was fine. You know, I don't know. It's all right. But maybe
you're a fine dining guy, Ben. You know, you gotta own up to it.
It's true. I mean, do your listeners know that we met over oysters? That was how
we did, Braid.
Yeah.
I know we are so what's the word for this?
Bougie.
It's terrible, mate. I sometimes take a look at myself and I think, no, this is relax. you're not James Bond. I had to tell myself before I go out. I look at myself in the mirror and I go, you're not James Bond, no.
So funny. Yeah.
Relax. You don't have to drink martinis.
No.
Which I do.
Yeah, martinis are good. Just don't order them shaken. Don't be ridiculous.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just don't order shaken. That is actually just the wrong way to order a martini. I'm sorry, James. That's just the wrong way. Stir it. That's how you make a martini, please.
Exactly. I was actually at that. I know we're going to get to the rugby, but before we get there,
yeah, go ahead.
I was actually at that restaurant, Seabreeze in Cape Town, my favorite restaurant in Cape Town. It's not cheap. It's like, even when I was there recently, I was like, geez, why do I like this place? It's so overpriced sometimes. Yeah. Not overpriced, but you pay, you know?
Yeah.
But I love it, mate. And I remember I sent you a picture and I said, it was so special.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was good. It was a lovely weekend, man. I look forward to coming back one day and doing something similar and hosting you in London.
Oh my God, dude, that'd be epic. But let's make a pact right now in front of you, me, and all the listeners. Australia 20 whatever it is. What's it now? It'll be 2028, I guess.
Oh,
maybe not
2027.
Excuse me. The margaritas are getting into my throat. Australia, mate. I've got tons of mates there, family there. We got to go to that one. That one is going to be epic, buddy.
I'm down, man. I'm down. I've made a habit of this now. So, yeah, that sounds good. And I've got a little brother out there at the minute.
Perfect.
He's just moved to Melbourne, yeah.
Oh, mate. Perfect.
Yeah.
Listen, let's do it. We do a trip into the Never Never, and then we go around the rabbit-proof fence, and we watch some ruggers.
That's a deal. That's a deal, Mo. That's a deal.
Okay, buddy. rugby. Our listeners are probably like, can we get to the episode title? Is this guy talking about cruise ships or is he talking about rugby?
Both, weirdly.
Okay. Wales are playing.
Wales are playing Argentina this afternoon.
Argentina.
Yeah.
England are playing Fiji.
Yep. That's tomorrow.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy. Okay, Wales, Argentina, nobody cares. I think, the Welsh care. And I don't know, Argentina have been poor.
The Argentinians have been, they were terrible against England. That's the only game I've really watched of them this year. You go a man down, or rather, you go a man up if you're Argentina. You go a man up in 3 minutes. You think, oh, we've got this locked up. There's no way. And England have been looking rubbish. So we're a shoo-in, surely. But then, you know, three drop goals later, they just had no idea what to do. Absolutely out of sorts. And they were a mess. And I mean, you know, I think that might have been a mess of George Ford's making. You know, he completely
shot George them. Ford in that game was like, he was like a living god, mate.
Yeah,
he
yeah, yeah, yeah.
was like the best, is the best, one of the best performances from an individual player at that level that I've ever seen in a lot since Dan Carter, basically.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty special. And you can imagine my astonishment when I saw the England team sheet for tonight, or rather for tomorrow, with Owen Farrell at number 10 and George Ford on the bench.
Yeah, bro. And he was like, well, he was a man of the match for like two or three games or something.
Yep.
Dude.
Yep. I mean, you know, I don't know. I love Faz. I think there's a big contingent now in English rugby fandom that believe that Owen Farrell is not in our best 15. I mean, because he's a very good fly half and he's a pretty decent inside centre, but we've got a better fly half and we've got a better inside centre. So it's like, yes, you've got this set of skills that actually just doesn't necessarily work with the way we play at the minute. And I just don't know if he has earned his shirt in the way that he maybe did 4 years ago. So it's going to be a bit of a test for that. I realise I've managed to, you were asking me about Argentina-Wales and I've managed to turn it on to the Fiji-England game tomorrow.
No, yeah, but that's it. That's it, because I couldn't agree more with you.
It's a strange team. We'll see how it goes. But just to take it back to Argentina for a minute, yeah, they were terrible in that opening.
Yeah, game.
They sound yeah, like they were. They've sort of pulled their socks up a little bit and sorted themselves out a little bit and kind of.
Got but it was, you know what? It was a beautiful game because you saw Argentina not match up, not take the opportunities, but then you saw England take every opportunity. Yep. You know.
Defended for their lives as well. The defending was phenomenal. I remember that.
Yeah. It was almost the best thing that had happened to England. It was like, let's be a man down and for the whole match, literally.
Yeah.
And then play this team. And it's like, they were like, okay, we're going to go to our plan B, which is basically, I don't know how technically how they did it. I mean, a lot of territory and stuff. But geez, it was amazing.
A phenomenal kicking game, basically. And then take the points. They didn't score a single try that game. You remember that was all, it was something like 24 points to 13 or something, if not more, 27, 13. And it was all George Ford's boot. Three, a hat-trick of drop goals.
Unbelievable performance.
You love to see it. Not enough drop goals in the modern game.
Especially from an English team, because you guys with Wilkinson kind of made the drop goal cool, even though it was hated at the time, you know.
All the
media were saying, oh, it's killing the game. It's like winning World Cups, mate.
I mean, this is the thing. You say it's killing the game. It's the same with the kicking game generally. People go, well, you know, why are they not playing more ball in hand? I'm like, because you lose the game if you play ball in hand. Like, what are you on about? It's such a silly thing to level up at teams. How dare you kick as much as you do? It's like, well, teams that kick more win more. Like, that's just the way the game is at the minute. And if you're not tuning into the right level and paying attention to the kicking game, because it's a fascinating part of the game. I appreciate people want to see attacking rugby, but attacking rugby that's going nowhere is more dull, I would argue.
Yeah.
Attacking rugby where you're just on the halfway line, where you're just coming up against that rush defence.
Right.
Mean, you know, you just can't play that game against Ireland, for example. That'd be interesting this evening to see, because Ireland's defence is the best in the world. So, you know, and I suppose you're coming up against the All Blacks, which are maybe the second or third best attack in the world. But they're not behind maybe Ireland and France. It'll be very interesting to see. But you can't just play ball in hand anymore, which then opens up things like drop goals and just excellent kicking and 50-22s and all of the above. And I'm down for it, honestly.
Ireland's got the best defense. You feel like they got the best defense?
I mean, South Africa have something to say about it, I'd say. You guys probably have something to say about it. And England on their day are pretty intense. And Wales have looked very good as well.
Wales are very good. Yeah, Wales are very good on D, actually.
Yeah, so I would. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think anyone beats Ireland in any corner of the game at the minute. That's why we've... hold on, just kicking off on this boat. I don't think there's a corner of the game that anyone really pips Ireland at the minute. I mean, it'd be interesting to see tonight. And a lot of the rugby legends that were doing the talk I've just watched downstairs. There's a couple of rugby legends on this boat.
Really?
A couple of them.
Cool, man.
Yeah. We have Mike Tindall was speaking, the English rugby legend. A couple of an All Black and the Argentinian is about to become Italy's national coach. It's a whole thing.
Who's the All Black?
I can't remember him now. He used to be captain. He's got dreadlocks. He's sort of a older dude.
Is it Tana Umaga? Don't tell me. Tana Umaga.
No, I don't think so. I think a bit older than that. A bit older than
dreadlocks?
That.
Dreadlocks? I don't know. Rodney Soliwalo? Rodney?
Maybe. I'm not. He spoke very quietly.
Ben, come on.
No, I honestly can't remember. I love
that you don't remember. You English fans, you guys are the worst. No, you don't just remember a legend All Black that captained the All Black squad. You guys are terrible.
Sorry, who are the All Blacks again? I've forgotten. The best team in the world at the minute is Ireland, so no one else is interesting.
What? Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, oh man, that's funny.
But okay, a couple of those guys believed that New Zealand were going to win tonight. But I, and you know, you can never write the All Blacks off. They're the All Blacks.
I don't know if you've seen much of Ireland
play recently, but they're absolutely devastating.
Dude, Ireland are good. Ireland are so good. Yeah, their shape is so good, and teams try and read them, but they struggle. Although I feel like the box read them very well, because the Bucks have a rush D, and if you've got a rush D against Ireland, you're going to be good. But teams can't practice a rush D over a week and execute it over a match, you see. That's the problem.
Yeah, because it's so intensive.
Yeah. It takes a lot of cohesion, a lot of knowledge about who's where, a lot of practice, you know. I think that's where Ireland are doing well, is that the teams, as much as they want to rush them, because if you rush them, like the box did, they can't spread the ball out wide. They got to play in that little cone that the box set, you know, which is where the forwards are, and they want to pound the guys. You know, they want to delay the decision maker with that pass. So the box do that well. I think New Zealand want to play their style so much that they will lose a World Cup in order to fulfill playing New Zealand style rugby, which is great, but it hasn't evolved.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think that's an interesting view. I think I understand that. I agree with that, because they do have that one style and it's gorgeous. It's beautiful and we love it. But at the minute, it's not going to beat Ireland. You know, it's just that. Their game management, and they're so clinical, and they're like their set piece and the whole shebang.
Dude, Ireland are so good. Yeah. They are so well coached. Johnny Sexton is freaking unbelievable. He's playing Tag Furlong, I think the guy's name is.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He's unbelievable. Like, I never rated. Look, Ireland was always my second team.
Yeah.
Because they have a green in their jersey, and because they were kind of the underdogs a little bit for a long time.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're not my second team now. Now we're arch enemies, but. It's great to see them do so well, mate. It's unbelievable what they do.
It's lovely. And I'll tell you, it's very beautiful as an English fan, because we're sitting here going, God, it's going to be a good day when Andy Farrell shows up to coach England. Because, I mean, you know that's
Andy
where it's
Farrell
going.
Has been amazing for Ireland. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
15 games on the trot or something, undefeated. That's, I don't know if it's 15.
I think it is around 15. You know, it's pretty astonishing. It's pretty astonishing. And I think he's probably now, he'll win this World Cup, or at least he'll try and get close, hopefully, if he can get through today.
But I think they'll do well. But I know I'm a South African, and you got to help me with my bias here, okay? Because I'm very biased. I'm super biased to South Africa.
Yeah.
But I don't see. But the problem is with South Africa is that we never expect to lose. Even if we play New Zealand, we expect to win. There's never a team where we play where we're like, we might lose. We're always like, no, we can beat them. And so my attitude is that I don't see a team beating the Springboks. Do you see a team beating the Springboks?
Forgive me, Moabi. Did you watch the Ireland South Africa game? Because I have explicitly seen a team beat the Springbok. I mean, admittedly, that sounded like you didn't kick any of your points. And if you'd kicked your points, maybe you wouldn't have. But that was, you were fairly beaten there. You were the second best in that game.
Yes, we were beaten, but in a sense, we didn't lose. You know, when the All Blacks are beaten, but they don't lose, there's a saying like that. Okay.
Because
if we took our chances, obviously, we would have been in a better position. It doesn't matter now. I mean, at the end of the day, we lost the game. But I think we learned more in that game against Ireland, because I believe the World Cup is going to be Ireland versus South Africa. I think that's
the final.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting. I'm not sure you're going to be able to beat France, honestly. I mean it like that. The French are stunning right now. The French play like the All Blacks, but in a Northern Hemisphere style. You know, they've got
the
game and they've got the defense. They've got the big up front and the set piece. Like, they have the whole complement, and they play with more flair than well, certainly New Zealand at the minute. I don't think I quite go as saying it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Right, but they play with so much flair and attacking now. You're going to have a really, really tough game. I think it's tighter to call. I honestly think that's tighter to call. I think I'm more like, I feel like Ireland are more likely to win against New Zealand. But
I back France at this point.
France are good. France are, yeah, no, I'm at a loss for words. Thank you.
You're devastated. I'm sorry.
I'm devastated, yeah. I've never quite had it broken down to me in that way. I'm surrounded by Springbok fans that never say anything bad about the Springboks. But thank you.
Oh, I remember I remember when this podcast used to be called the Springbok Supporters Club. Built around the terrible Springbok side that couldn't win a game. So let's not forget, that's only 5 years ago.
Dude, I couldn't bring myself to call it that anymore, because we were actually doing quite well. And I think
you're the
boys
best in the world. Yeah.
When we started, we were at the very bottom. We were so bad. That's why I started the podcast, because the Springbok rugby was so bad. And I was an ordinary citizen in South Africa, minding my own business. And then I thought, maybe I can do something, to help. And I thought, okay, never mind the box, because they've got professionals, psychologists that help them with losses. What about the fans? So that's how the podcast started. It's like, support the fans at least, you know. they're not professionals, But now we've got so big-headed because we've won a lot.
Yeah. And now you believe you can't lose.
There's no reason for the podcast anymore.
Now you believe you can't lose.
I know, man. That's why I have you. Yeah, Ben, are you there? Hello? Hello, 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 hello.
I'm still here, lad.
Yes, I got you now. You're back. You're back, yeah, you're back.
Go ahead, what are you saying?
I'm ordering my third margarita. Is three too much?
I don't know. You seem fine to me, but we'll see how you are by the end of your third.
Yeah, at the end of the third one, I might be saying a whole lot of strange stuff, my friend. I apologize in advance to the listeners.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, listen, so you've got the Ireland to beat the All Blacks, huh?
I've got Ireland to beat the All Blacks, yeah. And I think Wales will beat Argentina this afternoon as well. I think Wales are looking pretty solid, and the Argies just aren't up to scratch. So that's
you don't think the RGs are going to pull a Southern Hemisphere turnaround and say, oh, by the way, we played bad in the first game. We learned from our mistakes. We're in the semi-final or quarter-final. And now we're going to play our best rugby. You don't think that, huh?
Stranger things have happened. But the thing is, Wales play pretty, and certainly in these sorts of tournaments and knockout games, Wales play their best rugby at moments like this. And Wales, the way I think of both Argentina and Wales, they both run on emotion. You know, they both run on belief. And I just think Wales have more cause for belief at this point. Wales haven't really put a foot wrong. You've got to remember, they've got Warren Gatland back in there, who's just at this point a Wales legend. And they just, I don't know, when they get momentum and they get belief, they're beautiful to watch, because they're just so They love it. They absolutely love it.
They're good. And they are good. Like, yeah, we South Africans have a lot of respect for Wales, mate. Big, big, big freaking time. Big time. They are very good. They're very, very good team.
You've got to think how tiny that nation is. You've got to think how small that nation is. I think I might have said this before, but there are more people in London than there are in Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland combined.
Hectic.
Wow. You know what I mean? Like, this is a tiny little nation, population-wise.
Yeah.
It's unbelievably small. And here they are on the global stage knocking down giants. I mean, they've always been knocking down giants. They also lose to giants pretty regularly. I mean, they lost, South Africa in 2019 in the semis.
yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I think they've got the edge today. It'll be interesting to see, and I'm excited. I'm supporting Wales today.
No, go for it. I don't have a prediction, actually. So I can't talk. I actually haven't even considered who might win before this conversation.
Yeah.
But as a Southern Hemisphere guy, you know, the weather's a little different here in the South, Ben. It's a little bit, I don't know. You know, we graze a little different. We call eating grazing. You know, when we go for dinner, we say, what time are we grazing? You know, it's a little different.
And that will mean you win the game today, is it?
So based on that alone and the fact that the Argies make really good steak, I think that I'm going to back Argentina. And then we'll see who's right at the end, because it doesn't matter at this point, because it's not our teams. But I'm just going to play devil's advocate. Although, even if you weren't here, I would have still said Argentina. I feel like because they beat the All Blacks, and they beat South Africa for the first time. Actually, they beat South Africa a few times. I feel like they might have an edge in that they've been in tough games and that they've won. And they might have carried confidence into that game.
Yeah.
But not to say anything from Wales. I mean, Wales are fantastic. So it's going to be it might be a close game.
I don't know. I think all four of these games are going to be tight. And none of them are easy calls at all. And even
buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy, I think South Africa are going to put a cricket score on Ireland. On France.
Oof, that's some fighting talk there. That's some fighting
talk. Yeah, I know.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I'm rooting for France. I want to see France home this World
Cup. How could you?
They've got the most exciting and entertaining player on the planet.
Are you doing a podcast with another Frenchman behind my back, Ben?
No, brother, I'm just being your foreign correspondent
and
playing your devil's advocate. I'm not even playing devil's advocate. I've just watched a lot of France of late, and I remember
you do a podcast behind our back with a Frenchman, and I know it. I've got the evidence. I can prove it.
I mean, it is strange, and it's a very rare thing for me as an English fan to be rooting for the French. I mean that. It's a very rare. But
dude,
I will...
Shut out. Let's go.
Dude, here in Kenya, I was watching a match recently, and there was a whole bunch of England supporters. We were watching the Springbok Ireland game, bro, and the English supporters, they were wearing their England T-shirts, were rooting for Ireland. I was like, guys, for goodness' sake,
of course,
what's the deal? Why don't you guys? And you know what's worse? A lot of them have lived most of their lives in Kenya, which makes them African.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
The one guy said, his daughter's sister-in-law, no, his daughter's father-in-law is from Ireland, so he's supporting Ireland. I was like, for goodness sake, mate. You've lived 15 years in Africa. You're an African. Okay, relax.
Nah, I'm sorry. We're Northern Hemisphere all the day. And, you know, I mean, you are our least favourite team in the world. You know that, don't you? As English fans.
I don't know why we got so hated by the English. I don't get it.
I mean, 2019 Yokohama, 2007. I mean, where was that? Actually, I don't know. Was that in France? That was in France as well. That was in Paris, 2007 in Paris. There's precedent there. There's precedent there. And we talk about the beautiful way people play rugby. South Africa do not play a beautiful game.
No, they don't. It's ugly.
Grunt,
game, yeah.
It's what makes them so difficult to beat, you know, and that's really your asset. You don't win games. You just don't let them. Yeah. You just force other people to lose them, which, yeah, you know, I mean, it's fabulous. And it's great that we have a team like that on the world stage. I won't take it away from you, but you're not winning any favors over on this side of the globe.
But against France, buddy, I feel that France are good, but they're not great. They're on their way up, but they're not at the top.
Yeah.
And I think Ireland can beat France convincingly, which they did in the Six Nations. Yep. And I think the Bucks can beat France convincingly. We lost by 2 points to France when we played them. We learned a lot from that game. And we got Kermit Reiner, which is what I wanted to play personally. I wanted Kermit to play against Anton, because Faf is great, but I wanted Kerbis in that position, bro. I feel Kerbis has got the pace to put the Depor under pressure. Mm. He's got the sniper ability. He can snipe a lot. He might not have the... Faf has got the defensive ability to read, because he's a shooter, and he reads, he reads that game really well, and Kerbis might need to work on that.
Yeah.
But all Kerbis has to do in preparation this week is work on his ability to shoot.
Yeah,
you know, like the All Blacks kind of created that. They had Aaron Smith, who used to shoot up, close an attack or whatever the case may be. So with that being said, I don't see France beating the Springboks, and I know that I am biased. There is an element of bias in it. That's why you're in this show to tell me that I'm wrong.
Yeah,
but I feel like they don't have the forward pack to beat us, and I feel like we can I'd muscle them at the back as well with Manu Lebok, and when Pollard comes on, if we're missing points, we'll get the points, and we've got three different styles that we play, whereas France have got one style. We can go for the penalties, the corner, the mauls. I feel like South Africa has got a lot more in its arsenal, and we've got a lot more versatility.
Yeah, interesting.
But I'm a super biased fan. Biased. I'm so biased, I pronounce the T in bias. That's how biased I am.
As I said earlier, I think it's about as tight as any of the games to call. And I'll not take it away from you. You've definitely got a shout, 100%. I've just had some pretty bruising experiences against France in the past 12 months. So maybe I'm biased in the other way. I just know what they're capable of, but we'll see, man.
Yeah,
it'll be a good one.
Good. They are good. Yeah. Okay. So who's your prediction for the final, buddy?
I mean, realistically, it's whoever wins in Paris, right? It's not going to be Wales. I mean, it's not going to be Wales, Argentina, England, Fiji. Realistically, as much as I'd love to see it, and you can't ever, I don't think you can ever really write the English off. You never know, they might pull something out the back, but I'm not holding my breath there. Even the same with Wales, but I don't see Argentina or Fiji getting further than that. So I think realistically, it's whoever wins in the evening games. So France, South Africa, or New Zealand, Ireland. Personally, have gone for the all Northern Hemisphere shutout on these quarterfinals, so I'm anticipating Ireland, France, and honestly, the world of rugby wins if the way it is, because not least neither of those teams have ever won. It's a French home game. Yeah. I think that's going to be the most exciting game. I think that's going to be the most entertaining game to watch. You know, any game with South Africa in it. I mean, I say that Ireland South Africa game was so amazing.
Amazing game, bro.
Such a beautiful game. But you know, I think
to ask you from earlier. What did you think? Sorry, I'm gonna interject because I remembered what I want to ask you earlier. What did you think about that game? Because Ian Foster said that it was boring, you know, and the world's gonna have to decide what kind of game they want to watch. Blah blah blah.
Well, I'll tell you how I was. So I was at the England-Chile game in Lille that day. I'd just finished the England-Chile game, and we went to a bar just around the corner in Lille, to watch this game, and I was pretty drunk, Mo. I'll be honest with you. I'd had a lot of drinking. I didn't
you
feel I needed,
Ben? Come on, yeah, not
no.
You.
I mean, I didn't feel I needed to be super present for the England Chile game. I mean, let's be honest, that was only ever going one way. Even with England in the form that they're in, that was only ever going one way. Poor Chile. They were lovely. The fans were lovely, beautiful. But we went to watch this game, and I was drunk as hell. And from the moment of kickoff, even drunk wavy Ben was in. Like, I was,
really?
The whole time.
I'll be honest again, I can't quite remember why. I don't really remember what happened. All I remember was that I could not take my eyes off the screen. And I was in the whole, from kickoff right to the very end, it was gripping. So I think, and I've said this already about the kicking game and these people that say, oh, well, let's play ball in hand. I'm like, you're actually just, maybe there's more depth to this game than you realize, you know?
Right.
I'm going to upset some people here, but things like the kicking game are fascinating. If you couldn't read it and you know what's going on, and then that up front stuff, this, watching those hits and seeing and watching the balance of power.
Dude, the hits were amazing. The hits were like, we were watching rugby at its finest, and that's what we grew up in our generation, at least, right?
Yeah.
Where I got turned on to rugby when I saw Martin Johnson, one of the most violent human beings on the face of the planet, mate. he personified English rugby for me. So when I watched the English play, they were playing with passion, with heart. Dude, they were like playing like they were colonizing the earth all over again in a different medium. You know? I was like, geez, these guys are, I can see why most of the world has belonged to them for centuries. Like, they play with conviction. Yeah. I haven't seen that in a long time from the English squad, but that's what made me love rugby, was that Martin Johnson, Jason Robinson era, bro. It was amazing.
It was good. That's the same one I grew up on too. So I'm with you. So, you know, I think that Ireland South Africa game is far and away the best game we've had all tournament. You know, I'm hoping that we're going to see more of that. Maybe tonight, Ireland New Zealand's going to be amazing. Well, I mean, Wales RG will be interesting, and England Fiji will be interesting too. But I think really it's these the big headline ones, both of the evening games, and they will determine the final. I really believe that. I can't imagine any of the four teams playing in the early games over the next 2 days. The two games I'm going to, interestingly, I can't see anyone winning that. I've given you my predictions there. I've said all Northern Hemisphere shutout. What's yours?
I think Argentina will one up Ireland, Wales, because they are. I think Argentina have an edge on Wales. Wales are very good. Like, it's not a disrespect to Wales, but I feel that Argentina have got more depth and more ability. They've been there in the semi before. Mm-hmm. They played the toughest teams, and I think they will find an edge. If they are on song and if they're well coached, I think they can beat Wales. So Argentina go through. Fiji, Fiji. We haven't even spoken about Fiji. Dude, Fiji,
no, we haven't.
I feel, is so good.
It's the best the team's
must,
ever been.
I must confess to you, I was very happy when Fiji beat England. I was very happy.
To be honest with you, we all said, and I remember saying this before the game, because we didn't feel good about it. We were watching that before the game. I said it, and this is tense of my approach. Well, because I love the Fijians. I love the way the Fijians play rugby. I'm always happy to see Fiji win. So I said, if they win today, then we'll be all right, because it'll be a beautiful day for Fijian rugby. You know, and we can.
Right.
What a nice thing that we, the English, can offer the world. There you go. Fiji's best ever day at rugby. So, you know, and I said it to my mate before I left to come here to France the other day. I said, well, if we don't beat Fiji, it will be an even better day for Fijian rugby. And we can all be happy for that. So, you know, I mean, you're winning anyway. Exactly. And I mean that. They're beautiful guys, and they play amazing rugby, and they deserve to be up there with the best. And they are up there with the best. And this is maybe the first time I think I've really felt that they've got a complete game. There's a couple of little holes in there. The line out doesn't fire quite as reliably, and their scrum's not impeccable, and you know, but their things like their kicking game and their like phase play now and their breakdown work is I mean, it's what they've been lacking. You know, they've got all of that amazing Islander style offload, fast attacking, huge pace, big hit rugby, but they've then not been able to just control it and like grind out a couple of phases, you know. But yeah, they can now, which is devastating. You know, this is a you know, a new force on the world stage, and if they manage to beat England tomorrow, that will really announce their arrival in a big way. They've never gotten to the semis. It'll announce their arrival in a big way.
I like the way you put it. It's going to announce their arrival onto the arena. You know?
Exactly. So, you know, I do think England will do it. I mean, they've just, let's not forget, Fiji did just lose to Portugal, you know, and while England v Samoa was not a great game for England, we did still win that game through careful and, you know.
While we're talking about England, you said you like, not George Ford, what's your boy's name again? Farrell.
Farrell, Faz, yeah.
Okay, you hate Rassie, we hate Farrell. I'll explain to you why we like Rassie. Explain to me why the hell you like Farrell. Please, because as a South African fan, I'm talking now. This point of the podcast represents literally 99% of the South African fans. We don't get it. We don't like him.
I mean,
we don't like him for so many reasons. He's very good. Like, he is. Like, if he was South African, he would be playing. You know what I mean? He would be in the squad.
Oh, I mean, he fits the South African style of rugby to a T. He's your perfect number. He's your perfect number 10.
Dude, he's like a physicality,
and he can kick points. He's like Pollard, but with bigger muscles. with a better tackle.
No, with a worse, with a much worse tackle, man.
Yeah, I mean, I say better. Yes, he is that much more likely to get a
better
card.
Tackle. That's so funny, mate.
But you know, he's. I'll tell you why we like Owen Farrell. Last game, Owen Farrell surpassed Johnny Wilkinson as the highest ever England point scorer. I mean, you don't really need to look beyond that. Like, because we don't, and it's interesting because I was speaking to my dad about why we don't love Farrell in the same way that we love Johnny Wilkinson. And we don't love Farrell in the way that we love Johnny Wilkinson. Johnny Wilkinson is a all-time
legend. Johnny Wilkinson
legend.
Is unbelievable. I love Johnny Wilkinson.
Yeah. Like, who doesn't
Johnny
love Johnny Wilkinson?
Wilkinson was lovable. Yeah.
You'd be an idiot not to love Johnny Wilkinson.
Absolutely. He was scoring all those drop goals against other teams, and they still loved him. It's not like they hated the drop goals, but they were like, he's so good. We wish we had him. He's an amazing player.
Exactly. So, you know, but Faz is as capable, you know. He's maybe a bit less flary, but in terms of his ability to
impose himself well
and control a game, and there's the Faz pass, which is just that absolutely pitch perfect, like
he can pass flat, very well.
Beautiful passer of the ball. I mean, he was at one point, he's definitely fallen from this mantle, I'd say, but he was at one point the best kicker of the ball on the planet. You know, both from the tee and in the middle of the game.
Dude, he's good, eh? No, he is good. Like, he definitely has a tremendous... Like, he is very talented. There's no question. He refuses to learn how to tackle, which grinds me. Like, and he gets away with it, you know, which is even worse. That's when I start to think about conspiracy theories and I start to think about men behind the curtains. Is when he... is exonerated initially, remember, of that grotesque tackle that even English fans were like, for goodness sake, mate, we're trying to support you, but this is a bit gratuitous, you know, but still, even though he's gratuitous, he's like our Rassie Erasmus. Like, Rassie will go, he will, if Rassie could tackle like Farrell in order to win a match, he'll do it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and so maybe that's why we both got our own little evil talisman that's very, very good at what he does, and of course sometimes it's going to piss people off.
Yeah, I guess it never really quite. Well, same with Rassie. To be fair, like, he's got a lot of South Africans that don't like him for no reason, bro. I'm like, listen, the guy won a Rugby World Cup. What more do you want? South Africans are never satisfied. You're like, this mate won us a Rugby World Cup. And Jake White did it, and he's done it, and he did it in 18 months. What more do you want from the guy, you know?
Yeah.
You can't get a better performance. He's got 100% from, if you look at his marks, and you grade him, He's probably he's a 90%er. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I
get it. South Africans are never happy, bro.
But this is the thing. It's the same with fans. You know, like, what more do you want from the guy? I mean, I know he didn't win the World Cup, and I don't think I blame him for the 2019 thing. You know, but he's the all-time top scorer for England. Like, I don't know. I think he is past his best, and I think maybe we need to think about a future without Farrell. Tomorrow will be a good test of that. Like, should we have started Ford? I mean, it's not like Ford's got another World Cup in him either. So it's, you know, but that's where Marcus Smith. We've just got the wrong coach for a player like Marcus Smith, but that's in a different podcast entirely. I don't know. We love Faz. We'll see how long that lasts, and tomorrow will be a good beat in that journey.
Yeah, on form, I feel like Ford is better. But if I had to pick a team, there's no way I'm not playing Owen Farrell. If I was England, and Owen Farrell is I'm playing Owen Farrell, mate. I'm glad that he's hated. I'm happy that the guys don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a bonus. Like, let's
Springbok Rugby.
Yeah, Springbok Rugby survives on that. We thrive.
Yeah, thrive on being. I know.
On being unliked and being hated and
It was the Eddie Jones style of coaching England as well. It was the exact same thing. He's like, no, guys, everyone hates us. Let's own that.
Yeah. Yeah, and as soon as you own that, you play with so much more freedom, you know?
Yeah. No, and, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think Farrell, if I'm being dispassionate now, I think Farrell is one of the best 10s. Jeez, I'm going to get hanged in South Africa for saying this. But anyway, I think Farrell is one of the best 10s in the world. And I think if we could have him, we would absolutely have him because he's ferocious. He is direct.
Yeah.
He is clinical with the kicks.
Yeah.
And he's hated, mate. Yeah.
That's the trifecta. Perfect. If you hate him, he's a perfect ten.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a perfect. Exactly. He's more perfect than Pollard, which is hard to say because Pollard is loved. Everybody loves Pollard. Everybody, even you guys, probably love Pollard, right?
Yeah. He's all right.
okay, listen, while we're there, South African fans will want to know, what is your thoughts, Mani Leboko or Andre Pollard?
I mean, I was astonished, honestly, watching that Ireland game, that you didn't have a kicker. So I've got to say Pollard. I thought that was, I mean, you'd have won the game if he was on the pitch.
Yes, but Leboko produces 4 or 5 tries, buddy.
Yeah, he didn't against Ireland. Not against the best defence in the world, he can't.
Well, he did. Remember, the trial that we scored, he passed Cheslin Kolbe into the corner. Remember that?
Beautiful. Yeah, lovely. But you just said 4 or 5. That's one.
That's one.
And you need to be scoring more than a try. You certainly need to be kicking more than... I mean, did he kick any points?
No, he missed all of them.
You've got to be kicking those points against Ireland. You just need every inch, everything you can get against Ireland. Because I'll tell you, they'll take every single point that's available.
They'll take every point.
They will not leave anything out on the pitch. So, you know, I hear you, and it sounds like maybe you want to go for a more interesting and exciting style of attacking play, but again, that's not really South Africa's style. That's not all the way you've won games in the past. So it seems like an odd choice to take your point kicker off the pitch for some attacking flair, especially against the best defense in the world.
Okay, yeah. Look, I hear you. I hear you, Bal. It's so great to hear a non-South African voice talk about this. I can't tell you. This makes our content. Is the fact that we've got people that don't agree with us, right? Yeah, I need to get... I promise you, I'm going to look at... I'm going to see how I can get a Kiwi. I know you have a Frenchman that you're in cahoots with. I'm going to get in cahoots with a Kiwi. And then we're going to complete the trifecta. But I hear your point, and it's an interesting one. I've never considered that. I do think Mani Leboko provides a more attacking style. His no-look kick pass was incredible, right? Remember that?
Yes, I do.
He adds incredible. A lot of attacking flair And the Springboks were under a lot of pressure in South Africa for box kicks at a stage. Because they were box kicking every game. Every kick was a box kick. And yeah. And the fans were saying, the fans had memes about fast kicking and stuff. They hated it. But the guys stuck to their guns. And now, we don't do as much box kicks. We can. We're so good at it. But now, excuse me. Oh, my God. Excuse me. Now we play a lot more attacking. And Manu Lebok is kind of the answer to what the fans were asking for, which is an attacking backline. Because we've got Cheslin Kolbe, Kenan Moody, all these other guys on the wing that I'm forgetting, Mapimpi and all these guys in the back line.
Yeah.
That don't get a lot of ball.
Yeah. So, and you want a distributor like that. Yeah, that's so fair enough.
Older. Yeah.
That's Lebok, fair enough. I mean,
Lebok.
Go ahead, Mo.
Sorry, buddy. No, you. Sorry, you go ahead. Yeah, I made my point.
I was just going to say that it might suit you well against France. That more attacking rugby might suit you well against France. It's a slightly different game. I mean, those guys, Dupont. I mean, Dupont is as good as the best fullback and the best number 10 in his kicking game. You know, like,
dude, he's amazing. Dupont is amazing.
Astonishing player. So, you know, you've got to at least have that, but maybe a bit more of an attacking. I'm not sure the French defense is as impenetrable as Ireland. So maybe your four try backline will see you through.
Dude, Dupont. Okay, we haven't discussed him. He's an unbelievable rugby player.
The best.
He kicks left and right accurately. Like he deservedly is the number one in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
He creates nothing, something out of nothing. He's freaking he's attacking, he's defense. You remember when he held back that Ireland player, dude?
Goodness, it was amazing. I've never seen anything like that before.
I couldn't believe anything like, me neither. I couldn't believe it.
We won't see it again. I mean, until maybe this tournament, but that's just astonishing. The strength and the power in that little man.
Dude, never seen a rugby game where a guy, and I've seen a lot of rugby games, mate. I've never seen one where a guy has been held by a nine from scoring a try, mate. I've never seen that in my life.
It's beautiful. So I'm excited for that.
I do see Kurbis right now. I see Kurbis right now making, because he's quick. Kurbis is quick. His dad was like a 400. He had the 400 meter record in South Africa. His dad was a Springbok. Kurbis is also super quick. And I feel like Faf is good, but he's not the right fly half for Dupont. I feel like with Dupont, you want a quick guy that can put pressure on him.
Yeah.
And that can really make his day long, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
Because Dupont likes to take the ball. He likes to carry the ball. Yeah. And he holds it. They play off him. And then he'll decide. He's like a 10. He's like a false 9.
He is like a false nine.
You know?
Yeah, he is. He is the distributor. They do play off him, really. I mean, you'd be an idiot not to. He's the smartest player on the pitch.
He's amazing. Exactly. He's got the best vision on the pitch at any one given time. But I feel like Kurbis is going to reduce the time that Depor normally has to make a decision.
He's
going to put him under pressure.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why the box went with him and not Fat, you know?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That'll be interesting to see. I'll keep an eye out for that little battle of the nines.
Battle of the nines, buddy. That's what the game is going to come down to, basically, right? Battle of the nines.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Okay, pal, listen. We've had you on here for over an hour now, and I know you got to get to cruising. You got to do cruising stuff shortly. I'm going to include this in the show. This is beautiful.
Sorry. You hear this? They're saying that the shuttles to the stadium are now running. Oof.
It sounds like... thanks, buddy. It sounds like you're in England. Is that an Englishman over the PA?
Yes, it's definitely an Englishman on the PA. Bear with. We've gotten the whole way through this conversation without a single announcement. We highly recommend that you use our official transfers to and from the match today.
I love that we are a part of this transmission.
Well, it's going to be in there, isn't it? Somewhere. It's kind of in keeping with the theme. I am on a boat, after all.
Bro, this makes me and the supporters feel like we're there with you. Thank you. We're on a boat cruise with you, baby.
Welcome to Marseille. Welcome to the shuttle buses to the stadium are now going. So it's nearly ready, buddy, to get going, I guess.
Buddy, we want to leave you to get going in Marseille and have a great time. Believe me when I tell you, thank you for being a Springbok supporters. What's the name of the podcast? I always forget it now.
Springbok supporters Club.
Podcast. No, I changed it.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Springbok Supporters Podcast, something like that.
Springbok Supporters Podcast. It's always a pleasure. No, I'll be lovely to talk to you. Always a pleasure catching up with you and talking rugby. It's nice to hear from some a different perspective. You know, we do have our own little echo chamber up here, as it sounds like you do as well. So it's nice to have that cultural exchange.
Right, exactly, buddy. And we absolutely love to have you on the show. You are literally one of our founding members, buddy. And I remember when we were in Cape Town at a backpackers over an iPad recording an episode. I remember
that. It's a good story.
And we went surfing together. So
yeah, we did.
We gotta make more memories, buddy. You and I. Sounds a bit weird.
It's on, man. No, we will. No, dude, it doesn't. We're good. We will, man. We're forever rugby pen pals, and then when the moments come, we'll hang out and we'll have a lovely time. But it's been lovely talking to you, and
right.
I wish you the best of luck, but not so much that you beat France.
That's all the luck we wanted, to beat France.
Then I'm sorry. Yeah, look elsewhere than an England fan at this point. We're Team France, I'm afraid.
Tell me, buddy, what do you want to leave us with as an English supporter? What do you want to leave the Springbok supporters with, you know, going into, okay, the semis is not that big a deal. I feel like England will go through personally, even though I didn't say that they would necessarily. And I feel like, I personally feel like England can go through to the World Cup final.
Yeah.
I have a suspicion England are so much the underdogs.
Yeah.
And there's so much, nobody thinks anything of England. And it's working to their best advantage because they're like South Africa in 2019, where nobody was thinking they could do anything. And I feel like England, personally, I actually really feel like England could go to the final. They've been there before. Most of the players that are there were there in the final.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no reason for England not to be in the World Cup final, buddy.
Well, I think of two reasons that England won't be in the World Cup final. Ireland and New Zealand are both of those reasons. I appreciate your optimism, I really do, but maybe that's the thought I'm going to leave you with. This is not going to be England's year, I think. And I'll be honest, I don't think it's going to be South Africa's year either, Moabi. So there you go. It's going to be, I think we could be in for a new, it's going to be a new crown, a new rugby era in a couple of weeks. That's my prediction.
Okay, yeah. So, okay, your prediction is that it's going to be a new era, new teams. Ireland against somebody that has never been there before.
France.
And I'm saying that South Africa, France, that have never won it. And I feel like South Africa, because I'm South African, I wish that I could take my South African hat off, but it's so tight. It fits so tight that I can't quite get, you know, a grip on it. But
I've just realized it won't be Ireland, New Zealand that we're facing. It's we're facing you. We're maybe facing you or France. There's the reason England aren't getting to the final. So who knows? Maybe we'll see you again in the semi final. That'll be a nice day,
won't it? I didn't think about that.
That'll be a nice day. Well, we'll catch up. We'll have to catch up then if that does end up happening.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much, Ben, for being on the show. Enjoy your cruise. Let me tell you, we love having you on the show personally, and we're going to see you soon, my friend. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Lovely chat to you. Have a lovely weekend and enjoy the rugby.
Thanks, buddy. Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Bye-bye.